for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Rolling into the 5 o'clock hour, we're watching the beginning of the WNBA draft. 17 minutes until the picks are taken. And women have showed up, they're doing interviews, and it's going to be a spectacle tonight. They're all dressed well, dressed for success. It's That's kind of the competition now, is they call it the orange carpet at the WNBA. But these women have brought it tonight. They are dressed and ready to go. It's going to be really fascinating to watch how this is all played out, which teams get which player. And this draft class has never been – I mean, the WNBA has never had a draft class talked about it like we are right now on the radio, because you have so many of these women who have built brands and become stars in the college game. So it's going to be really fascinating to see how that – all plays out. JJ and Alex is brought to you by G2G Bars, with all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and plenty of protein. G2G Bars are perfect for anyone who needs a tasty and nutritious boost. WNBA draft going on right now, just as the NBA playoffs begin. We'll dive in now a little bit on the Jazz and the NBA playoffs. The Jazz and the future are the cut right here on JJ and Alex.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The Jazz season is over. What did we learn from this season? Well, we learned that Will Hardy can coach. Mm-hmm. Let me start there, Sly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, if you had any question about this relatively young coach in the NBA, I'll take the relatively away. He's young. Second year in the league, mid-30s.
Younger than LeBron.
Younger than LeBron. He has earned respect around the league. He's earned respect in that organization. He earned respect in that locker room. And I can't think of, there's probably some guys, but just off the top of my head, I can't think of an NBA head coach thrust into the situation he's been in his mid-30s, first chance to coach an NBA team, and he's had to deal with all the twists and turns that have been thrown his way during a Utah Jazz rebuild. Playing good basketball, climbing up the standings, and then having personnel moves made that completely change your roster.
He has no control over.
He has no control over, and suddenly he's got to figure out how to coach this new situation and new players without the old players that he had and worked with and developed chemistry with. I mean, how many personnel the Jazz had over the last two seasons that have been on that roster? I mean, it's more than 50 guys. And he's had to balance it all and figure it all out. And he's had to handle every kind of scenario you'd think of that a young coach could be thrown at. And it's just tremendous what he's been able to accomplish. Excited now to have Alemah Harrington join the show, the host of Jazz Game Night, KSL alumni, former BYU football player. I could go on and on, Alemah. So many things I could use to introduce you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Good to be with you.
Hey, Alemah, first thing I have to do this. I have to give you a shout out and a thank you. If you remember back in the day when you're at 960 with your show, you used to have me on every week. And I was young in the radio game at that point, just, you know, I was just making guest appearances, and having me come on every week gave me an opportunity to get better at it and learn it. And now I'm in the fortunate situation where I'm co-hosting a radio show, and Alemah, I got to thank you for that, because you gave me opportunities you probably didn't even notice or recognize. So thank you, Alemah.
Well, that's awesome. And I think we all have, you know, found ourselves in those situations. I can say the same thing for Craig Bowlerjack, who embraced me when I came into this market at Channel 5 in 96 and just very graciously allowed this kid from Hawaii who only had a year and a half of broadcast experience to get into the business. And And, you know, that leadership trickles down. And so I look at the guys that we have in our market, and we have a good group of talent and people that care about the market and the teams, from the Jazz to the college teams to the high school ranks. And you're very familiar with all of that. So I appreciate the contribution you're making.
Thanks, Alem. Let's break things down in this season overall. Again, congratulations on another season. You and Mike Smith in the studio, that is a grind. And this year has been definitely different. How would you describe this Jazz season as you have a chance to kind of big picture look back on what it was? It wasn't easy for everybody, but it certainly was necessary as they try to get to becoming a championship team.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing for me, and I, you know, I speak to a degree for Mike, you know, I don't speak for him, you know, completely, but, and Mike, you understand that he's coming from 19 years of calling Clippers games when they were not good. And I've had a couple of seasons in my 15 years on that desk where we had some rough seasons, weren't making the playoffs, and you know, it's been hard, and we went through obviously that final stretch, losing 13 in a row before going 2-2 to finish out the season. And when you're recapping a game after another loss, then, you know, it becomes tedious and hard, and you're trying to find storylines and positives. But it was easier for us this year than any time in my past experience. And I, you know, Mike Smith, the same, in part because of the ownership and the people that were surrounding us, and including Will Hardy. And as you've been talking about, you know, what he's had to go through in this season is so challenging as a you know, relatively new head coach, new last year, second year this year, and to have all of the challenges that come your way, but handle it with grace. And it's real easy, and we see this outside of our market, it's real easy when you have spells like that, regardless if people understand that, okay, this is a process and this is a journey and this is part of it. It's really hard to keep the fan base and to keep your locker room. And Will Hardy did a masterful job, in my opinion, of being able to maintain the locker room. And that doesn't just happen with Will. It goes up to Justin and Danny and to Jim Olsen, and of course to Ryan Smith and the ownership group, that they're able to establish a culture where you can take your lumps and still be able to power forward with, you know, some grit, and believe that you guys are all in this together. Because it's so easy, man, to get a fractured locker room, and when that happens, man, it can get really ugly. And it never got ugly. And I was just talking with my brother earlier today. We're talking about, we're getting ready to do a presentation over at Sky Ridge High School tomorrow morning. We're talking about winning cultures. And this year, one of the themes was show love. And I don't know if this kind of, you know, comes from organically, kind of grew out of Jordan Clarkson and kind of his mindset mentality. But he is the, you know, the only holdover from the Quinn Snyder era. And you got a guy that you know, just is, he's a fan favorite. He's an exciting player to watch. And when you have that kind of veteran leadership that is making sure that everybody understands that we're all in this together, it makes it a little bit easier. It's always hard when you go through losing seasons. It's not, certainly not the journey that you want. This is not the part of the journey you want to be on. Everybody wants to be on the part where you're making the playoffs and there's all kinds of stuff going on and excitement. But they were able to do it in a year, this year, where, you know, the hope was that you were going to kind of flip your win-loss record from last year and be in the postseason. But you can't accelerate the process. And I think we all understood that. So for Mike, myself, Bowler, Big T, Holly, I think we were all understanding and on board and supported in the process of, okay, this is a journey. We're looking at other storylines, which we know. And there are so many positive storylines to focus on this year, from the rookies to the triple-double streak being or the lack of one being broken. And just, you know, there are so many things that were part of this year that that made it easier for us, because I've been through hard years where I was looking, and Thurl Bailey was my partner at the time, and we'd be looking at each other and it's like, man, we need to get a win here. And, you know, this year was a joy, even in those doldrums when, you know, we were losing 13 in a row. So it's, you know, it's been an enjoyable year in spite of the record.
Yeah. Hey, Lema, this is Sly. It's good to talk to
you.
What's
up, Sly?
Nothing much, brother. Nothing much. So, I mean, hearing what you're saying and understanding that you've seen these bad years and you've taken stuff from it, if you could put your GM coaching, your kind of analyzing hat on right now, what are some of those things that you took from this year that you can see in next year? I know that off-season things need to happen. There are potential trades, pickups, et cetera, with the draft. Yeah. But, you know, when I've talked to coaches before, there's little things. I mean, you've talked about Will Hardy keeping a good locker room, the players staying intact, the triple-double aspect, alongside with the negatives that have gone on this year. What are some of the things that you feel confident in going into this next season that gives you hope?
Well, the thing that I mentioned, which is culture, right? Culture is a big deal. And I've been around this team for a long time. It's why you understand this, having played in the NFL, that different franchises you go to and they operate differently, man. Mm-hmm. And you can go from one franchise that is, you know, kind
got
of
it together.
Broken, right? And the other one that man, they seem like they got it together. Mm-hmm. And when Ryan Smith came in and the Millers did a fantastic job, but when Ryan Smith came in and he took a look around, and part of this happened during the Quinn Snyder era, man, we revamped our practice facility. I was covering this team when they were practicing at Westminster. When I was at BYU, we were in the Smith Fieldhouse. That's where our locker room was. We won a national championship with those facilities. The Jazz got to the NBA Finals twice, practicing at Westminster. So it's not all about that, but there's something to be said, and I think it's even maybe more so this generation of athlete, when they're looking at a franchise and whether or not it's attractive, the win-losses are important, but how does the management treat their players? Like, what kind of facilities do they have? What kind of access do they have to different, you know, things that will make them better players? And they feel that. They recognize that. Speaking of players, right, they recognize that. You understand?
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, for me, when I'm looking at what has been established and what they can build on here, they already built the foundation. The foundation is culture. Mm-hmm. And the culture has got to be a winning culture. And what does that mean exactly? Well, it means that you care about your players, and they feel that. They know that. This is such an incredible community. At the last home game, which was, you know, nice to have a win against the Houston Rockets, if you were in that arena, man, it felt like this was a playoff game. And what we're talking about, they had lost 13 straight, and they're trying to figure out, okay, this is the last game. How many people are going to show up? I think it's 292 straight sellouts for the Utah Jazz.
Nice.
This community is unbelievable. And the way that Will and the players, the team, they have embraced the community and the community embraces them, you know, that's something you continue to build on. And then understanding that you got to have a good culture in your locker room. And so you got three rookies that need developmental time, right? One of them got that pretty immediately, which was Keontae George. And then Taylor Hendricks and Sensabaugh, they spent their time in the G League. So it's really hard for a young player that has been a star from, you know, Little League basketball to AAU to high school to 1 year of college. And then you come and you think, you know, you're a first-round pick and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to get my chance, and it takes time. So you have to be able to communicate with some compassion for those players that patience is going to be a part of this journey. And they did. They went down and they worked hard in the G League, continued to get development there. Mm-hmm. And then the last half of the season, all three of those rookies got significant playing time. So the development side of it will carry over for next year. And there'll be more draft picks this year. And you need to be able to evaluate your talent and understand, okay, who's going to be with us? Who's going to be somebody that will move on? But all of that starts with the culture in that organization, right, at the ZBBC, Zions Basketball Campus. That culture just has to be someplace that feels positive. And again, I think that theme of show love was perfect for this franchise because they embraced that and really embodied that. And I think you continue to build on that mindset, that mentality, and in the process, because of what you're doing, you start to attract free agent talent. You start to be able to get players that don't get frustrated, or if they do, it's a short-lived experience where, okay, they get frustrated because that's a natural tendency for all of us as human beings, but you're able to move past that quickly. So what I see happening over the offseason, and even talking with some of the players before the end of the year this year, and they got media availability coming up tomorrow, so we'll get more information. But these guys are committed, man. They're set, and they'll know what they need to work on, both internally with themselves, and then whatever the coaches and the staff ask them to work on. Mm-hmm. But I look at this group, and especially these three rookies, as guys that are willing to put in that work. And this year, they stayed hungry, they stayed humble, they stayed coachable, and that's not always the case. You lose some guys, and they might fall out of favor, they might fall out of the league. But if you got guys that are committed to the process and the journey, then that's an important part of this. And I would add to that, to have guys like a THT who gets relegated to the bench, but still is helping, putting his arm around the guy that's taking his place on, on the starting lineup and helping that guy. That's a beautiful thing. And you can say the same thing for Sexton and for Chris Dunn. These guys have been just invaluable from that regard in being able to keep this thing together as you go through, the growing pains and the learning curves and all the things that are part of development, which is part of the journey that we're on right now.
Thanks, Alema. Appreciate it. Should be a very fascinating offseason. Hopefully we can check in with you sometime soon as the stories develop and everything that the Jazz do this offseason develops.
Yeah.
And obviously a big day tomorrow as we hear from Danny Ainge and Will Hardy. Alema, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
Right.
Thanks,
that's Alema. The host of Jazz Game Night, Alema Harrington. Always a pleasure to catch up with Alema, one of the greats. We appreciate him. All right, we got to take a short break. When we come back, it's the NFL Blitz next on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All the latest news and notes from the league and the locals in the NFL. JJ and Alex bring you the NFL Blitz on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You know what that means. The music in your ear right now. It's that time of day. Each and every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday here on JJ and Alex, where we break out the NFL Blitz. The NFL never sleeps, neither do we.
You know what? I'm going to change my alarm clock to this. My wife's going to wake up to this every single day.
She's going
to
hate you.
6:30 in the morning, she's going to be...
6 a.m. every day this. Tell me, it would inspire me.
Right? Get up. That's...
I can't speak for everybody.
The count at the crack of dawn, you're just listening to this beat. It's perfect, right?
It'll definitely get you into the gym, I bet. No doubt about that. Your wife may be...
it's my anthem.
Not a fan of that.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be.
All right. Okay, Christian. Christian Esparza in the booth. He's producing today. Do I need to... is it time for our Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers Play of the Week?
Let's do it, man.
All right. Before we get to the NFL news of the day, call us now to give us the Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers Play of the Week. We gave out this morning on DJ and PK. Be caller 12 now at 801-575-9663 and tell us the play to win a $20 Amazon gift card. With an impressive lineup of cars, trucks, and SUVs, it's no wonder the people are switching to Chevy at the Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers. All right, Sly, here we go. Fast break style. While in the corner of the eye, we watch the WNBA draft as Caitlin Clark's about to be selected, but no surprise there. She's going to be the number one overall pick. The draft has now officially begun.
How long do you stay on the clock when you know what you're doing?
I would have already had...
Your pick is in. Oh.
The commissioner should already have the pick on this one.
Right.
It's a no-brainer. Caitlin Clark should go number one. A Heisman Trophy winner is getting paid. The Eagles have signed wide receiver Devontae Smith to a 3-year, $75 million deal.
Ooh.
$51 million guaranteed. This is, you know, it's we're way past free agency. This is a little quiet deal here, but this is a big one, including Smith's fifth-year option and the new deal. He's now locked into Philly through the 2028 season. What do you think of that?
That's awesome. Devontae Smith is tough, man. That was one of the only questions you had about him. Of course he's skilled. He's a Heisman Trophy winner as a receiver, right? But is he tough enough to endure NFL season after season, hit after hit, you know, be that number one guy? A.J. Brown is literally like, look, there's no number two receiver. He's receiver number, he's receiver 1A and 1B over here. And so he is that number one receiver caliber. He's younger than A.J. Brown, so you invest in the younger guy. He is that guy. He's awesome, and I think he's dynamic in this offense.
More news. Star wide receiver news. It's that day. Justin Jefferson was not at the first day of voluntary workouts for the Minnesota Vikings as he awaits a new deal. Should they be worried?
No. Voluntary workouts.
Okay, Sly, explain the business side of this thing here. Explain what he's doing.
I'm sorry. Voluntary workouts is worse than Planet Fitness. I'm just like, it's no real reason.
There's truth bomb.
Nobody goes to voluntary workouts.
Really?
So the people making a story out of it does not mean anything. If it's a new team, like Devontae Adams going to the Raiders, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
But you've been on this team. You know what it is. You haven't even been to the draft to select a new quarterback yet. Why the heck do I need to be at voluntary workouts? Again, voluntary.
Yeah, good point. Fair point. So Vikings fans, don't panic. If you have Justin Jefferson on your fantasy football team, don't panic. Justin Jefferson should be in a Vikings uniform this year and should be, again, among the best players in the National Football League in 2024, barring injury. Now, Sly, I just want to know who's the quarterback's going to be.
Sam
Darnold was brought in to be the starter. They do have Jaren Hall there, who had a small opportunity last year, could not take advantage of the opportunity, got hurt the first time and was ineffective the second time. And then there's a feeling out there, Sly, that the Vikings could be that team that takes a big leap and jumps up in that top three in the draft. How important do you think it is that they do that?
Yeah, I mean,
when you have Justin Jefferson on your roster, there's some urgency.
Again, you got to play what's going on, right?
No.
I don't think it's that necessary. I don't think they need to. I think they can stay right where they're at, pick up Michael Penix, who already looks good in purple.
Oh, there you go.
Who already looks good in purple.
Yeah.
And you got Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson. Your quarterback now runs a 4-4. Heisman Trophy candidate type quarterback. Can make all of the throws.
Mature.
Proven winner. Mature. You can stay there and still get it, retain all your assets without giving stuff up. I mean, the most you would do, you maybe wanted to exchange one position, right? Like in the draft, like maybe I move up to 11 and instead of staying at 12. But you really got to play the odds, because the bad part is what about, you know, guys like the St. Louis Rams or the St. Louis, LA Rams stepping
rest
up.
Rest in peace, St. Louis Rams.
Right? Or, you know, some of these other teams that need quarterbacks, you know, jumping up in the draft. That's what you're protecting against. I think that Michael Penix will be available for you there around 10, 11, 12.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that. The value of some of these second round, potentially or third round quarterbacks is pretty high. It's a great draft class for quarterbacks.
It's a great draft class.
I think some of the guys that are going early are going a little too early. And I think that the other guys like Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. might be going later than their value suggests. So I think you could definitely get a good quarterback deal if you are patient. I don't think the Vikings need to sell the farm on Jaden Daniels or Drake May or even J.J. McCarthy. I don't think that's necessary. All right, one final hit here. Giants quarterback Daniel Jones expects to be cleared by training camp and says he could possibly even begin some drills as early as this spring. He suffered a torn ACL in week 9 last season in a loss to the Las Vegas Raiders. What are your thoughts on Daniel Jones, especially coming off a torn ACL? The Giants owe him a fortune. Can he get back to the player he was 2 years ago when he led him to the playoffs?
No, they shouldn't have signed him.
Agree? That's JJ and Alex. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, done and done. Well, first of all, the whole quarterback perspective, we understand how valuable a quarterback is. But when Saquon Barkley was doing what he was doing and you didn't invest in him in the future instead of Daniel Jones, was the even what Daniel Jones did that year, anybody can come in and do that. For the quarterback to invest in him the way that they invested in him, which is you want to show confidence in that person, but the way that the New York Giants invested in him is as if he put together multiple years like that, and that was not the case. So, again, I think that was the wrong investment. And
yeah,
you've seen how that played out this year when Saquon left. He's now at a division rival. I'm not signing another franchise tag with you guys when you guys should have did that to me last year.
Yep.
And so, like, and he wanted to be in New York, and that was crazy. And now he's closer to home with in Philly next to Penn State where he was. So, yeah, man, I just think that that is a huge miss on the Giants' part. But when you got teams that are traditionally used to doing bad things, they will continue to traditionally do bad things.
And the Giants are that franchise right now.
Yes,
even after
are.
The success they had of winning a playoff game in 2022, they continue to make head-scratching moves. That's the NFL Blitz on this Monday. A lot of stuff going on as we get closer to the NFL draft. We've got to take a short break. When we come back, it's Best and Worst, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Wrapping up the hour with our picks for the best and worst moments on today's show. As JJ and Alex want to hear your best and worst of the day.
Welcome back, JJ and Alex, Jeremiah Jensen, Stevenson Sylvester. The show rolls on here as we near the 6 o'clock hour. Right now watching the WNBA draft. How about that for our best today? Caitlin Clark going number one overall to the Indiana Fever. Mm-hmm. Cameron Brink selected number two overall. I think she's going to, which is that
Sparks.
Seattle or is that the Sparks?
Sparks.
Okay, there you go. I was looking at the Chicago Sky logo, but there you go. Cameron Brink.
Staying in Cali.
There you go. The L.A. Sparks, so she'll enjoy L.A. Just a banner moment for women's basketball again tonight.
For sure.
What a wave they've been riding. And to move now from what the success they had in women's college basketball that had record ratings. In fact, the women's national championship had greater ratings than the men's national championship for the first time ever. Now they hope to capitalize that on the WNBA. I hope they do. I hope we continue to be entertained at this level by these women. And now they're joining these other women in the professional game. Hopefully this summer it takes the sport at the professional level to another level, Sly.
Yeah. It's been a joy to watch the game grow, how these girls have transitioned it. We talked about it in golf, right? Storylines, right? There was good guys, bad guys, the underdogs, just great storylines all the way across, the surprises, all the way across the board, the repeats, you know, from the undefeated South Carolina to Caitlin Clark's just sheer dominance individually, to LSU, you know, can they run it back? Yeah, they got an all-star cast, and, you know, and Haley Van Lith transferring over there, and obviously they got everything, right? They should be able to win it all. Just storylines in basketball was just so great, complemented with great basketball, right? There's a lot of great moves that you've seen. The highlights that we've seen are just awesome basketball, man. And you're seeing it from some of the best athletes there are playing the game. You know, I'm growing up, you know, there was plenty of girls that played with the boys. You know, they made it happen. And then you hear those stories, right? You hear those stories from Caitlin Clark, from all these girls talking about, yeah, we played with men growing up. That's how we're so tough. And they are making that the game. And so the game is on that level. There's some amazing things, the range.
Yeah.
From these girls, right? You know, the deeper and deeper threes, Steph Curry changing the norm of who takes threes and how you do it, right? We were talking about it. We've never seen you know, females take shots like this. It's never been done on this level.
Step back threes from 30 feet that Caitlin Clark
does.
It's
deeper than 30 feet. She's logoing it like crazy. Yep. And so just amazing part of the game, amazing for us to sit back, watch, and enjoy. I'm so happy for this sport. I'm actually, you know, watching this, I'm like, okay, should I go get my Caitlin? I'm still owed my Caitlin Clark jersey, by the way. You know, Shab, whenever you want to come in on your bet, you're over a year due right now.
Uh-oh.
That jersey values keep going up, so you're just deepening your pockets. But I got my Caitlin Clark jersey, need my Caitlin Clark jersey, got my Sabrina Ionescu jersey. What's my next one I need to buy? Angel Reese. I definitely got to get Asia Wilson. She's one of my favorite players. But yeah, women's basketball is incredible. And so I hope everybody else enjoys it and continues to watch as well.
Now the worst, and this is the worst, NFL news. Rashee Rice and Teddy Knox are being sued in Texas for over $1 million in actual damages and $10 million in punitive damages by two people who say they were injured in a six-vehicle crash March 30th in Dallas. The plaintiffs, Edvard Petrovsky and Arina Gromova, allege Rice and Knox deliberately raced their vehicles at speeds well beyond the posted limits and caused the six-vehicle crash that led to their injuries. Yeah, Rice is the leaseholder of both vehicles they were driving at the time of the crash.
Well, you gotta elevate the people you're around, because the people you're around should make sure that you are not in those situations. And they did not do that. That is terrible, terrible events. You know, everybody injured in all of that. You know, major loss of lives could possibly happen. So many things. And it's just a bad situation all the way around.
Just grateful that nobody was killed in this incident. But it is a bad look for Rashee Rice. And, you know, because nobody got killed in this incident, hopefully he can learn from this and better from this and educate others about this, whatever was going on there. The thing is, Rashee Rice, you're on a Super Bowl champion team. A lot of young people are watching you and looking up to you. It's time to be an adult. And you got to be smarter than that.
Yeah.
Like, that's a stupid, immature thing to do. And, again, grateful that nobody got hurt, but certainly people got hurt but didn't get killed is what I should say.
Yeah.
Obviously, people got hurt pretty severely, and he's going to have to pay a price, and I do hope he's accountable. And, you know, this lawsuit's a part of that accountability, but the message needs to be sent that situations like this can't happen. So,
yeah, it's terrible, man, and, you know, it's even bad for him, because football is something – as I said, it's something to where there's nothing else compared to it. And this is hurting his career to where he can never do it again, right? And off of dumb mistakes. You could take so long to build up your reputation, get to where you want to go, and in an instant, it could be all taken away from you.
Truth.
Craziness.
All right. Hopefully that gets resolved, and Rashee Rice is held accountable, and
yes,
hopefully he can move on and learn from this incident. All right, we got to take a break. JJ and Alex continues next after this. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.